Good morning. It is great to see you. Glad that you could be with us in worship today. If you are worshiping with us digitally, then we are excited that you are a part as well. I want to encourage you, if it is your first time digitally, or maybe you're just somebody who's been watching and we don't know who you are yet, I would love it if you would take a moment and just email me at tim@fiveforks.org, because I would love to be able to reach out to you, socially distanced, and to be able to just share with you a little bit about Five Forks Baptist Church and all the wonderful things that are going on here. And as you heard through the announcements, we've actually got several different things that are going to be going on. This is a big week, week and a half in the life of Five Forks Baptist Church. So I want you to be very prayerful during the course of this week about a lot of things going on. First of all, don't forget, this coming Sunday, we will have the vote on the expansion project, okay? That'll take place in both services at the very beginning of both services, okay? You should have already received an information packet in the mail that gave you a lot of information about the financial side of the building project. If you did not get that, if you haven't received it yet, and I'm going to be honest with you, I just got mine yesterday, and it got mailed on Monday. So, but if you have not received it yet, we've got copies in the office. We want to get a copy to you today. So if you didn't get a copy, please see me, and we will get you a copy of that, okay? And then secondly, we will also have on Saturday from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we will have a meet and greet with our candidate for the pastoral position, the pastor of Christian education and outreach. And I want to encourage you to come out into the social hall from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock and meet him. I know you're going to love him. I love him. He's a great guy. I will be talking to you a little bit more about him at the end of the service after we get off video, okay? Because he has a current place of ministry. So those of you who are watching on video, if you want to know the substance of what I say after that goes off, then give me a call, okay? And we will talk to you about that. But we don't want to do anything to damage his current place of ministry, so we're going to just let you know right now that he's going to be coming. You're going to enjoy him. He'll be preaching in both services on the 24th. And then you'll have an opportunity to vote after that as well, okay? So some big things coming up in the life of Five Forks Baptist Church. We want to make sure that you don't miss out on any of those things. Now, if you have been following along with what Pastor Matt has said and a lot of how Pastor Kevin has been gearing worship and also the boards that are in the back, thank you to those of you this past week who signed up for ministry. Thank you for those of you who said, hey, yeah, I want to be involved in what God has for my life, involved in ministry. What God Can Do Through Ordinary You is the series that we're looking at that's guiding us through that process. The purpose of this series is not to browbeat you and to say you have to do this or you have to do that. It's to encourage you that everybody who knows Jesus as their Savior has been given an amazing gift. We're going to talk about that today. God's plan is to take ordinary people with ordinary talents, do something extraordinary through them. Y'all, I have seen this happen hundreds of times in my ministry, probably even thousands of times, where God has taken ordinary people, done something extraordinary through them, and he gives all the glory to himself. Do not ever insult God by saying that God cannot use you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about your favorite childhood Christmas gift memory, okay? So you got to go back to childhood, not like something you got last month, but think about something in childhood, your favorite Christmas gift memory. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to think about that. It's weird when it's quiet up here, isn't it? All right, now that you've got it in your mind, I want you to socially distance, share that with somebody close by you, and just let them know what that favorite gift was that you received, okay? Go ahead and take a moment and share that. We'll talk about that. All right. And I hope you who were sharing along digitally were looking at somebody beside you, or if you're by yourself, pick up the phone and call somebody. Say, Pastor Tim told me to share this, so here it comes, okay? Now, for mine, I got an Indiana Jones bullwhip when I was about 10 years old. You know, Indiana Jones, those movies were pretty big back then, and I really enjoyed that. And you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about that during the course of this week as we were thinking about this idea of spiritual gifts. And like kids who run to open their gifts at Christmas morning, followers of Jesus, those of you who know Jesus and are a part of this local assembly, you ought to have that same joy at being able to serve the way God has gifted you, that amazing sense of wonder. God is a gift giving God. He doesn't give you something to simply secure your eternal relationship with Him, but He gives you the gift of salvation and spiritual gifts so you can participate in what He is doing to bring people to Himself. Think about it. The God who needs nobody is willing to use anybody who will submit themselves to Him and make themselves useful. Every Christian needs to know that to receive God's gift of salvation, and by the way, if you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you've not received that gift of salvation, I want to encourage you today, at the end of this message, you will have an opportunity where you can come to faith in Christ. And I want to encourage you to listen, to be thinking about the fact that you are a sinner, separated from God. But the Lord Jesus, in His wonderful love and mercy, left heaven, came to this planet in the person of a baby boy, lived a perfect life, but then died a death that sinners deserve. But He didn't stay dead. He proved He was God on the third day by coming back to life. And if you will place your faith and trust in Him today, Jesus has promised you heaven and an amazing spiritual gift. This is some of what we're talking about. To receive God's gift of salvation is to receive God's gift of service. They're both one in the same. Okay, so if you receive the gift of salvation, you have received the call to service as well. Jesus did not pay the price of a crucifixion death so that we can either sit here in the sanctuary or at home with your remote, just make as much money as possible and live fat and happy the rest of our lives. He gave us that gift so that we can participate in what He is doing in the world. Jesus gave Himself for me so that He can give Himself to me so that He can live His life through me. Jesus paid the price so you can have part in His eternal purpose for His glory. And He gives everybody a gift to be able to help out in that process. So the Bible teaches that every follower of Jesus has a spiritual gift, and that translates into a function in this local church. So everything that this church does, what happens here happens because God's people serve Him in doing it. That gift is for the common good of the church. It's not a special attribute. It's not a talent. It's not a personality facet. Although all of those things can be used to express a spiritual gift. It is a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit. in a follower's life that spiritually and supernaturally empowers them to minister in a way that they couldn't otherwise. Let me give you an illustration about that. I do not perceive that one of the gifts God has given to me is the gift of mercy. Now, has God commanded me to show mercy? Absolutely, He has, and I do. But I don't believe that I have that supernatural gifting of the gift of mercy. But it's interesting because occasionally there will be a need in a church where I have to express that facet, where I have to express that aspect of life, that aspect of mercy. Now, I have been trained in seminary in how to do some of those things. But the training that I have received, even though somebody has told me step by step how to do certain things, somebody can come in with the spiritual gift of mercy and they can do it far better than I can, even though I was trained in how to do it, because God has supernaturally gifted them in how to do it. So it's an amazing display when somebody is using their gift for God's glory. Look with me at some verses this morning. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, there are some digital links to these notes in the bulletin. If you'll open that up, look under the notes, you'll find that. And I encourage you to follow along in the notes too. It'll give you something to take home with you. Think about while you're there. If you're following along digitally at home, we've sent you a digital link to that bulletin and you can access it there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, Paul says this: "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God is active in everyone and everything. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial." Now skip down to verse 11. It says, "But one and the same Spirit is active in all these things, distributing to each one as He wills." So if you get the picture, what God is saying over and over again is God the Holy Spirit distributes these sovereignly to you. Verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as He wanted." That is very important. Just as He wanted. "And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, all the more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." So now that God has spoken to us through reading His word, let's speak with Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the opportunity to come to You. Lord, this is a very consequential week in the life of Five Forks Baptist Church. So I pray that You will bless it. Lord, I pray that You will guide Your people into Your truth. Lord, this has been a consequential year and few weeks now in the life of our nation. And so, Lord, I pray that You will work in our nation. Work in your people and bring us to revival. And help us to promote righteousness that exalts a nation. But Lord, I pray that you will help us to, in the midst of a consequential week in our nation and a consequential week in our church, help us not to confuse those two, but to remember that the amazing, unshakable kingdom of God is what we need to put down roots in and invest our lives in. Lord, I pray that you will work in the hearts of your people today through this message. Father, people have come in here with all kinds of burdens and cares. There are struggles that are represented all across this room, some of which I know about, some of which I don't know anything about. But Lord, I pray that you will work. I pray you will comfort. I pray you will challenge and help us all to see what you're calling us to do and to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking today about unwrapping your spiritual gift and what that's going to look like in your life. So there are 4 points that I want to make sure that you get. You got some blanks in your notes page. The first thing that I want you to see in that is the principle of necessity. Necessity. A spiritual gift, like a part of your body, belongs and has a reason for being in the body. So Paul, the missionary, uses this analogy. He says, the eye can't say to the ear that because it isn't an eye, it doesn't belong to the body. The text actually says, so the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. I like the way Paul says it. He says, it doesn't matter what you say about yourself, you still belong. It doesn't matter what somebody else says about you. You still belong. He says if the whole body were an eye, nobody'd be able to smell anything. Some of you may have been recovering from COVID-19, and one of the things they say can happen when that happens is you lose your sense of smell or you lose your sense of taste. And so maybe that's happened to you. And if that's taken place in your life, you know the importance of that. You know the power of that. And so something that seems relatively small can be a big deal. There is a necessary function that you perform in the body of Christ. If you are a member of Five Forks Baptist Church, there is a necessary function you need to perform. You say, well, I'm not doing anything and nothing seems to be suffering. Oh, it absolutely is. What you're not doing is causing Five Forks Baptist Church to suffer. Now, you may not recognize it. We may not even recognize it. But nonetheless, it is necessary for you to be using your spiritual gift, however God has gifted you. So the first thing, a spiritual gift, just like a part of the body, belongs and has a reason for being in the body. You didn't come here by accident. You didn't join Five Forks Baptist Church for no reason. Now, maybe you're not yet a part of Five Forks Baptist Church. I want to encourage you during the invitation, you can come and say, yes, I want to be a part of what God is doing here. I want to join this church in membership, because we've told you before, membership is the gateway to ministry. To be able to minister, you need to be a member here. So we want to encourage you to step across that line of commitment and say, yes, I want to be a part of what God's doing here. But you have a reason for being here. Now, maybe you say, oh, I came because of the kids program. I came because of the student ministry. I came because of this ladies group that I'm a part of. Well, the reason for you being here, God brought you here both to receive a blessing, but also to give a blessing to others. So if you're just on the receiving end, you're missing out on the blessing of giving to others. So a spiritual gift, like a part of the body, belongs and has a reason for being in the body. God has a reason for you being here. Second thing I want you to see, though, is society. a spiritual gift like a part of the body needs all the other parts to function properly. Paul reminds us that the eye, now this eye must be pretty proud of himself because he keeps telling everybody else they're not needed, but the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. If that were true, you know, it's interesting. I think the French have a saying that says, you eat with your eyes first. And so they say when you see food, that's what actually begins the process of eating. You know, biologically, that's actually true. When you see food, it begins a salivating work in your mouth. And so the beginning of eating is actually seeing what you're seeing. So the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. If that were true, you could see the food, but you couldn't pick it up to be able to put it in your mouth. An eye without a hand would be a disadvantage. The eye and the hand need each other. I am amazed at how many believers think that a church needs a few Sunday school teachers, a preacher, somebody to lead the singing, and somebody, a few deacons. And you're good. If you've got that, hey, everything's fine. No, our church needs so many different aspects of ministry to be able to fulfill the mission that God has given to us. God has given us a purpose. The purpose God has given to us is different than the purpose for First Baptist Simpsonville. It's different from the purpose of Rocky Creek. God has put us here for a different purpose than what he's put them here for. And so because of that, in order to fulfill the unique design God has put on Five Forks Baptist Church, we need you. The eye and the hand need each other. Even those parts that seem less important are necessary for the health of the body. The text uses the term presentable parts and unpresentable parts. It says this, but the presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. How many of you right now can describe to me what your thyroid gland looks like? Probably not. Yeah, a few people here and there can, but most people cannot right now say, hey, here's what the thyroid gland looks like. It looks a little bit like this. It looks a little bit like that. No, it's small. It is unseen. But if it gets sick, it is going to have ripples and ramifications throughout your entire body. You cannot look at your thyroid, or well, you cannot think about your thyroid gland. You can't look at it, really. But you can't think about your thyroid gland and say, because it's little and covered up, I don't need it. If you started doing that, you'd be in real trouble with different things in your body. And the same thing is true in the body of Christ. You can't look around at Five Forks Baptist Church and say, we don't need so-and-so. We don't need this person. We don't need that person. You say, well, what happens when somebody leaves a church? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Here's the answer to that. When somebody leaves a church, if they leave because God is legitimately sending them somewhere else, then whatever they were doing in Five Forks Baptist Church, one of two things is going to take place. Either number one, somebody else is going to step up and do it, or number two, the door for that particular facet of ministry is closed anyway. Okay, so if God is legitimately leading somebody away, then one of those two things is true. If God is not legitimately leading that person away, and so many times that happens, we've talked about that during the Messy Church series, that a lot of times people just get upset and they leave when God isn't necessarily calling them somewhere else. And if that is the case, then God, in his mercy, will take care of Five Forks Baptist Church, but the body will suffer because of that. So a spiritual gift, like a part of the body, needs all the other parts to function properly. When I was in my second church, we had a man who was injured in a very serious industrial accident. He was checking a pipe that he believed in a power plant that he believed was unpressurized, and it was actually pressurized. And so as he was opening the door to that pipe, the door blew off, hit him, threw him all the way across the room, and he hit the back wall. And he had injuries everywhere in his body. They didn't think he would survive for the longest time. God did an incredible miracle in his life. He survived. He plays in a worship band. It's an amazing thing to be able to see. But it was interesting because I was there a lot at the hospital with his family during this time. I mean, every night they were telling his wife, "We don't think he's going to live through the night. We don't think he's going to live through the night." And so we would be there, and it was interesting because they would come in and they would say, "Now, tonight, we want to make sure you understand his temperature is going to go up. And so when his temperature goes up, we're going to need to do this and this and this." And it was fascinating to know how they would know that. They said, well, when that panel hit him, it hit his sternum, which pushed his ribs into his spleen, which will do this, and at this point will raise his temperature. And they had it down from this organ to that organ, and here's what will now happen. And they were absolutely right when that would take place. Why? Because all of those organs are interconnected. What I do up here on Sunday mornings, if I don't have a student pastor working with students, then I am divided and going and doing that. If I don't have sound and projection people to bring up what you see on the screen and to hear this voice projected, if we don't have AV people who can send out this video to people who right now are at home because of COVID-19, if we don't have people showing people how to get through the doors, if we don't have people who can lead in worship, so much of what I do up here will be impacted and will suffer. Every spiritual gift is important and needed. That brings us to number three, activity. A spiritual gift, like a part of the body, does something for the body. So your gift is supposed to be used in order to help the body of Christ function in the world. What you do helps this church fulfill its mission. People with the spiritual gift of service, we talk about them being the hand of Christ in the world. People with that gift, they perform acts of service. They demonstrate God's love to other people. They demonstrate God's love to people within the body. That can take the form of setting up chairs in student ministry. It can take the form of carrying food to a family that's in need. Maybe you have the gift of exhortation, the gift of encouragement. That is the arm of the church that when somebody is discouraged, you come alongside them and you can put your arm around them, although now in a socially distanced fashion. You can come up alongside them and you can walk alongside them and talk with them. You have a gift given by God when you trust Jesus. So, I want to make sure you understand, if you know Jesus as your Savior, every Christian has been given at least one spiritual gift. That gift means you belong to the body, that you have a place of service in the body. The eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you," nor again the head to the feet, "I don't need you." It does something for this body. You know, we've been told that when people come into a church, they decide whether or not they are going to stay within a church or at that church, or if they're going to visit again within the first 7 minutes of coming. So from the time somebody comes into this church, before they ever hear me preach, before they ever hear Pastor Matt welcome, before they ever hear Pastor Kevin lead in worship, before any of that ever happens, they're coming in, they're being greeted by someone, they're being shown where to sit. If they have kids, they're being checked in at their area. And maybe they're going to the restroom, sitting down, and watching the announcements. In all that time, they're deciding whether or not they're going to come back. You have an important role in doing something in this body to help those people know there's a place for them here. Activity, it does something for the body. Final thing I want you to see, though, discovery. Discovery. How do we determine how God has gifted us? Now, you're sitting there and you're saying, Pastor Tim, I've got it. I understand. I've got a gift. I don't have the foggiest idea what that is. How do you want me to do something with that? How do we determine it? I've got some points for you in the notes page, and I want you to have a look at those points because they're going to be a help to you. Very first thing, spend time praying to the one who gave the gift. Prayer is a conversation that you have with God. The more time you spend talking with God, the more opportunity you have to learn where he has gifted you in a part of his body. It's like an apprentice who is going to the master craftsman to learn from the master craftsman how to use a tool. Your prayerful questions will lead you into God's plan for why he has given you the gift. The giver of the gift is the best guide you will have to telling you how to use it. Second thing, study the Bible. Study the Bible. God has revealed his purposes for spiritual gifts in several different places. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 12. That's one of those places. We've also looked at Ephesians chapter 4. That's another one of those places. And today we're looking at 1 Corinthians 12. That's another one of those places. So take some time, get in the Bible, and read those passages. Knowing those verses will help you sort out everything that's been written and spoken about spiritual gifts. Because listen, if you go online to Amazon or something like that and you start looking for spiritual gift books, you're going to find hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of books. So you say, how do I weed through all that? Go to God's Word first. Go to God's Word first, understand what it says, then read what other people have written about gifts. Third thing, ask people who know you well. Okay, now make sure they're believers in Jesus. Ask Christian people who know you well. Your spiritual gift is intended to be lived out in a community and a body of believers. So if you're a member at Five Forks Baptist Church, your spiritual gift is meant to be lived out in service here. So ask the people here what they think. People who know you best can help you discover how God has gifted you for service. You know, you might have a friend who says, I am amazed at how easily you can talk to people about Jesus. I get so scared when I start evangelism conversations, but you're just so natural with it. Maybe that might be confirmation of the spiritual gift of evangelism in your life. Somebody else might comment, hey, you know what? You understand the Bible so well. There's stuff that's like deep stuff, and it's stuff that I don't get, but you seem to really get it and understand it. Maybe God is showing you a gift of teaching there. Listen to what other people have to say about how you function as a follower of Jesus. Fourth thing. You can see me for a spiritual gifts inventory. I've told you before, we have a tool that's designed to help you. It's not perfect. It's not inspired of God to the fact that it's infallible. But if you answer those questions, it will kind of guide you in an understanding of where you might be strong and where you might not be as strong in a ministry kind of a context. But the fifth one, and there is no substitute for this one. Serve. Go out to these boards in the back as you leave this place and sign your name on a line. Go out and say, I'm going to get involved in some way. Get involved and then find out if that is an area that God is calling you into. When I got that bullwhip for Christmas, I started using it that day. I actually got really good at it. We had a banister that went over our stairwell, and I would put action figures on the banister and got to the point where I could knock them off with the bullwhip. So it wound up working out pretty well. But that never would have happened if I would have gotten out that bullwhip and said, oh, that's cool, and left it in that package. The best way to learn how God has gifted you is to serve as a member of the body of Christ. Start with what you're asked to do. We've got some recommendations out there for you because those are some areas where we have needs right now. Start with what you're asked to do and see what makes your heart beat, what makes your heart beat fast, what comes easiest to you. See what you feel natural in. See what you feel like you're making an impact in. That doesn't mean it won't be hard. That doesn't mean there won't be a learning curve. But one of the things you'll find if you're serving in your area of giftedness, you will feel like you're making a difference. It makes more sense that what you love, you'll do for God. And that might be the very first thing that He is gifting you in all along for Him. God has placed a gift under His tree for you to open. Who would know there was a gift for them and wouldn't actually open it? You know you wouldn't. In faith, today, what we're asking you to do is to unwrap that gift that God has given to you and put it to work at Five Forks Baptist Church and beyond. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. In the stillness of this moment, one of the things I told you is if you don't know Jesus, today you have an opportunity to come to faith in Jesus. So if you are watching via video or you're in this room and you say, Pastor Tim, first things first, before I'm serving, I've got to know the one that I'm serving. Then you can pray. Prayer is just talking to God. We talked about that. And in talking to God, you can ask Him to save you. And right now, whether you're in your living room or your car or your cubicle at work or your bedroom, dining room, it doesn't matter. If you will call on Jesus and say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know because of that I'm separated from you. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you proved you were God by coming back to life on the third day. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to save me today.